That, if you would turn in your Bibles to Psalms 107. Sometimes we don't have business, and you might think, well, we'll skip it this month, but then it just takes twice as long next time. You've got to read twice of everything, so it's better to just stay on top of it. But anyway, I appreciate that, and I will say that the missions, we took on some missionaries, and the Lord's been blessing in the missions offering, and that's been kept up how it needs to be. So, just always remember and keep in mind about missions. We send out $7,000-some a month. That's a lot of money, and it's not because of us, but it's because of the Lord, and it's a worthy work. That's the greatest thing going on in the world, as far as I'm concerned, is getting the gospel out. And that's a program that has eternal benefits, and so it's a good thing. And then our building fund has been coming along about $900 to $1,000 a month, and that's a blessing too. So I know there's a lot going on always, but I just thank the Lord for how He's been blessing. And Psalms chapter 107. I've got just a little study. I'm going to try to get through tonight. Sunday morning I preached through 23 verses, and that went pretty good, so I thought I'd try to do twice that tonight and see how that goes. But I'm not going to go through every verse. But anyway, there are 43 verses in Psalms 107, and I was going to say that I certainly desired your prayers. We're coming down to the end of the school year as far as Victory is concerned, and that's, I always enjoy it, but I enjoy the little break that we have there too. And so we've got a couple more weeks in that. Of course, we'll skip Thanksgiving week, so I desire your prayers. And then I've been writing a little bit and trying to get something together, and that took more than I anticipated it would to get done. And so I desire your prayers as I'm trying to work on that every chance that I get. But I'd thought about this for next week, and I'd even laid it aside because this really would go good for Thanksgiving, maybe even Sunday morning or next Wednesday night. And so I'd looked over this, thought a little bit about it, and then I thought, no. I'll do that next week or Sunday morning, but the Lord just wouldn't let me get away from it. So I just want us to look here in Psalms 107 tonight. Next Thursday, not tomorrow, but the next week is Thanksgiving. And I don't guess it would hurt us to start thinking about being thankful a week early. I guess that would be all right with the Lord if we took a whole week and a day to really think about being thankful. And the theme of Psalms 107, especially these few verses we're going to read here tonight, is the goodness of God. God is good. He's a good God. And so we're going to look at this tonight. Let's just read the first 8 verses to begin with, and that'll get us down to the verse I really want to look at tonight. To start with, it said, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." That means it's all right to testify. You know, saved people ought to say so. That's what that says. You know, sometimes you might go to church with somebody for years and years, and they never say so. But the Bible says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." And so it's biblical to testify and brag upon the Lord redeeming your soul. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. And then he says in verse number 8, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And that verse is found four times in these 43 verses. It's verse number 8, verse number 15, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse number 21, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Notice there's an exclamation point on the end of these verses. And then verse number 31, it says it again, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And what you find when you study Psalms 107 is that in between these verses, where you come to that break where it says, oh, that men would praise the Lord, there's reasons why, specific reasons why we should praise the Lord. And I know this is talking about Israel, it's talking about the Jews, but it could apply to God's people anywhere. Down through all ages, all of us could have reason and find reasons in these verses why we should praise the Lord, and so we can apply it to us. And if you really study and read over these 43 verses, you know, I get the feeling that we shouldn't just praise the Lord. But we ought to praise the Lord with capital letters. We ought to praise the Lord. At exclamation point, praise the Lord. And we ought to emphatically praise the Lord, because it says, just for example, in verse number 8, he says, oh, that men. That's emphatically there. That means with some gusto and some gumption and some meaning behind it. You say, well, preacher, I just don't feel like praising the Lord. Well, you ought to praise the Lord anyway. I mean, if we waited till we felt like praising the Lord, it'd be few and far between that we'd ever praise the Lord. But you know what I've found out through the years is that if I will set out in my heart to praise the Lord on purpose, that although I may not feel like it when I begin, After a while, I sort of get feeling like it. He will help me to praise Him, because we have to have some help. And so we ought to praise the Lord emphatically. We ought to praise the Lord enthusiastically. You know, we ought to be able to do that with a smile on our face, like we really mean it. Like we really mean that we want to praise the Lord. And we ought to do it repeatedly. Four times in this chapter, he says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And so we're going to look at about four things, and I'm going to read over these verses, maybe not even all of them, and comment just a little bit. But I've got a little outline, and I think it'll apply to us tonight. I believe we ought to praise the Lord for his goodness to the states. I'm talking about our states, to the United States of America. God's been good to us. And he said here in verse number 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And God has been so good to our nation. Now, I know we got a lot of problems, but I'd still rather live here than anywhere else. And I've been anywhere else. I've been other places. I'd rather be here in the United States of America. God's been good to us. We have a wonderful Christian heritage in our nation, and there are so many times that we can look back through our history and see the very hand of God at work in our nation's life. And so we as a nation have been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. God has set up America as a light to the nations. I believe that with all my heart. To proclaim liberty to the nations and to proclaim the gospel to the other nations. And so God has set up America, and she has a very unique and special history. This is the year 2012. And that is the 200-year anniversary of the War of 1812. And you know, as I've studied about American history, there's a lot of people don't even realize. They just lump our beginning all together in the Revolutionary War. But there was a war that's called the War of 1812. But they really didn't get, they declared it in 1812, but they really didn't get to fighting good until 1813, 14, and 15, because back then it took them so long to get from one nation to the other nation, and so they declared war in 1812, and Britain tried to retake America and attacked America. We have been attacked by a foreign power other than the Revolutionary War. And it was the War of 1812. And that was the war where the British forces burnt the White House, set Washington on fire, set Baltimore, Maryland on fire, and the battle at Fort McHenry. That is where our Star Spangled Banner come from. It wasn't from the Revolutionary War. It was from the War of 1812, which it didn't come along to a few years later, but that bombs burst in air. That was the battle over Fort McHenry up in Baltimore, Maryland, up around there. And so that's where the Star Spangled Banner come from. And I was going to use that. I was going to show you something out of that. And if I can find it real quick, and you might find it in your songbook there. But you know, and that's a hard song to sing. We sang Sunday morning, "My Country, 'Tis of Thee." And I really got a blessing out of that. And I looked over the Star Spangled Banner and I thought, boy, I wish we could sing that. But I'll tell you, it's a hard song to sing. It really is. It is for me anyway. And then a lot of people that even can sing have a hard time singing it. And I thought it was in that book, but it's not. Is it in the red book? 457. Oh, I was looking under S, but it's the. But anyway, and we all know the first line. Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming? He's talking about the last thing we sing. We sing the flag at the twilight's last gleaming. Whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, or the ramparts we watched, Mr. Francis Scott Key, he was watching the battle from a British ship. And he had gone over to that ship to try to secure a prisoner of war that the British had. So he was over there when that battle was going on, and he saw the battle from the ship. And he's describing the battle in the song, "Or the ramparts we watched, we're so gallantly streaming, and the rockets' red glare and the bombs bursting in air." That wasn't fireworks. That was real bombs trying to kill real people. "Seeing if our nation's going to last through the night gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?" And in verse number 4, all of it, if you read it in that context, it's amazing what the Lord has done for us. But verse 4, he said, "Oh, thus be it ever when free men shall stand between their loved homes and the war's desolation. Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land." They gave credit where credit was due. They realized that God had founded our nation, that God had rescued our nation. "Over the heaven-rescued land, praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation." He's talking about praising the Lord. "Then conquer we must when our cause it is just, and this be our motto, in God is our trust. And the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave." We have a wonderful heritage and history of God rescuing our land. I went to the Veterans Day service at the mall on Monday. And that's the first time I'd ever been. And I would encourage the whole church to go to something like that. I really got a blessing out of it, seeing all those veterans stand up. And there were several World War II veterans and Korean, Vietnam, and Afghanistan, Iraq, Desert Storm. But we think of war, and war is a horrible thing. But Mr. Shipley, he gave the talk. And he's 100 years old, and if I lived to be 100, I'd like to be like him. He didn't have any notes. He stood up there and talked for 15 or 20 minutes, and that was just amazing to me. But he gave some statistics that I'd never heard before, and I thought was very interesting. It would go along about God redeeming us from the hand of the enemy. Now, we all know that the losses during World War II were in the millions. Germany itself, 6 million Jews. But if you really study that out, I think in total numbers of people that they killed was more like 18 million people, because they invaded Poland, they invaded Austria, they fought with the Russians, and there was millions of people lost their lives during World War II. But Mr. Shipley gave some statistics, and he said that in the veterans, that Germany lost 25% of their soldiers. That was one out of every four military people that were in the military died during World War II. They lost 25% of their total force. And he gave some others as well. Italy and Russia, and they were all up. One of them was 26%, 23%. Then he got around to, he was coming down to America. He got down to Great Britain. Great Britain lost 3% of their total military force. 3%. And America lost less than 2%. It was like 1.6% of our total military. So when you look at it in that respect, God really blessed as to how it could have been. And when he was talking about that, I was thinking, you know, that was the hand of God upon a nation that was praying and seeking God's face, and mamas and churches, and a nation that was doing the right thing at that time. And so we ought to praise God for his goodness. We've got freedom. We've got liberty. We can come together tonight and praise the Lord, and we don't have to worry about a lot of things that people in other countries have to worry about. And like I said, I'd still rather live here than anywhere else. And I pray that God continues to bless our nation. I appreciate what Brother Dwight said tonight about praying for our leaders. You know, in spite of the way things are politically, economically, in this nation, and there's a lot of problems, and they're forecasting a lot of problems. I'm not talking about preachers. I'm talking about people on the news talking about this is coming up, and this is and this is bad, and this is going to be bad, and all that kind of stuff. But you know what? We've got a work to do that we need to keep our eyes on. We've got missions that needs to be supported. We've got a message that needs to be proclaimed. Our nation has, there's still a lot for us to do in the church that we need to be busy about. And I would say, you know, it don't look like it sometimes, but still, God, when it says, in God we trust on our money, that is not talking about Allah. That is not talking about Buddha. That's talking about the God of the Bible. That's our heritage. That's our heritage. We have much to be thankful for, and God is far more merciful to us than we are faithful to Him. And He said in verse number 1, for He said, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. I'm thankful for His mercy tonight. And so we can praise God for His mercy to the states. And second of all tonight, we can praise God for His goodness in salvation. He said in verse number 9, For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. It said in verse 10, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. You know, that sounds to me like a lost person. Like how it was before you got saved. He satisfieth the longing soul. Verse 10, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. That describes a lost person. That's how it is when you're lost. But if you're here tonight and you're saved, you ought to praise God because you're saved. Ephesians 2 and 1 said, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You were dead without Christ. If you'd have never got saved, you'd die and go to hell. But you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. It talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, a long list of all kinds of wicked things, fornicators, idolaters, thieves, drunkards, but verse number 11 says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified. Thank God, you might have been that way, but if you're saved, you're not that way anymore. Such were some of you. And so I always think about that song we used to sing at Forest Grove about a loving God intervene. Boy, if God hadn't intervened, what a mess we'd be in. We'd still be sitting in darkness. We'd still be in the shadow of death. We'd still be bound in affliction and iron and all of these things. So thank God for His goodness in salvation. Verse 11, because they rebelled against the words of God. Whoever deserved to be saved anyway? We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Once upon a time, we were all rebels against the Most High King. But God's got mercy. His mercy is good towards the children of men. Because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High, God spoke, but we just wouldn't listen. Verse number 12, the Bible said, therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. I'm telling you, sometimes, you know how it is. We try to get to heaven ourselves before we get saved. That's how mankind is. We try to be good. But it's just like verse number 12. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. You can try to be good all you want to, but you'll never be good enough to go to heaven. And after a while, you realize, I'm not good enough. Religion, you can be just as religious as a Pharisee and still die and go to hell. You can't work hard enough. You can labor and work and all of these things. You can go to the preacher, you can go to the priest, but you'll never go to one that can save you. They tried, but they failed. Verse number 13, I like this. He said, then they cried in unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. I'm glad he hears when we cry. Not by works of righteousness, which we've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. I like that song. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. He done that. It wasn't what I done. I'd have drowned. I'd have died and went to hell. And so would have you. Because we cannot save ourselves. Do you ever just stop and think what a blessing it is to be saved? Say, oh, preacher, I don't know. I don't think I can be very thankful this year. Y'all just be thankful for being saved if you can't be thankful for nothing else. Verse 14, he brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. Boy, I like that. God's good. God's good. His goodness in salvation. Here's one that I said the other day, I wasn't going to say this no more, but it's right here in the text, and it lines up with my other S's, but we ought to praise God for His goodness in our stupidity. Because I'll tell you, if we got what we deserved, we'd be in a mess. Look at verse 15. All that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. That word fools there, if you look it up, what it means stupid. In words, in actions, in beliefs, in attitudes. Have you ever done something and you look back on it later and you just say, I just can't believe I done that. I was so dumb. I was so foolish to do that. I mean, I've done things, and some of you have as well, that was just dangerous to my life and the lives of other people. You ever got out on the road as a young person? Now, I don't think cars now, these new cars, they'll barely go 60 miles an hour. But I had a car that'd go 60 miles an hour in about 5 or 6 seconds. That's awful tempting for a 16, 17-year-old boy. I don't know, but I know some of you, you've got out and done things, and you look back and you say, boy, I could have got killed. I could have run over somebody and killed them. God sure was merciful. God sure was good and merciful to me while I was in my foolishness and while I was doing something that I shouldn't have done. Or maybe you said something that was foolish and you sure wish you could take it back, but you can't. God's good. God knows. I mean, these people does all kinds of things. Quits church, leaves their family mad and angry and says things and does things that they shouldn't have done or said. And, you know, sometimes we pay terribly for our foolishness, but sometimes God in His mercy makes it where we don't get what we should have got. That's God's goodness. That's God's mercy. There's a verse over in Job chapter 11, verse number 6. It says, know therefore that God exacteth of thee less than thine iniquity deserveth. God exacteth of thee less. That's the mercy of God. If we got everything we deserved, if everything happened to us that should have happened to us down through the years, probably wouldn't even be any of us here tonight. But God is good in our foolishness that we have in our lives. And when I think about my foolishness and how bad that it could have been when I've done things I shouldn't have done, I just praise Him for His goodness. That's what the psalmist is doing in verse 15. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And number 4, we ought to praise Him for His goodness in the storm. There's a storm described in verses 21 through 30. He said in verse 21, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. I've read about George Whitefield. You know he's one of my favorite preachers to read after. And George Whitefield loved to be on a ship. I think he crossed the Atlantic, I'm going to guess, 50 some times, back and forth, going from England to America. That's the only way they had to get back and forth. He must have loved it a lot. I've not done it once, and I have no desire to. He loved to be out. He said that when he was out on the ocean, he could just see the majesty and the power of God. And so he, and some of you maybe that's been out on the ocean, you can imagine this in your mind. Verse 25 said, for He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. Now that would be me on a ship. that's going way high on the wave, and then you've seen pictures of it maybe on TV where it dips and goes way down below the rest of the water. So you're down underneath and the waves all around. That about makes me dizzy just thinking about it. It said in verse number 27, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Have you ever heard anybody say, they're at their wits' end? Do you know that comes right from the Word of God? There are so many things we say and people say, they don't even realize that comes right out of the Bible. But have you ever been at your wits' end? The storm in your life just got so bad that you say, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to throw up my hands and quit. I'm not going to make it through this storm. I'm at my wits' end. That's how they were. Like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then, boy, I like this. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. And He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So He bringeth them unto their desired haven. They thought they was going to die during that storm. But God calmed the storm and made it still and brought them to their desired haven, the Bible says. And then He said, all that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. We've all been there. We've all been like the disciples. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Lord, I'm going to die in this storm. I'm never going to make it through. There's all kinds of storms. Financial storms. Family storms. Seems like, I don't know. Seems like now it's just about the way it is. It's constant, constant. Storms, troubles, problems. Sickness. People, like I said, throwing up their hands. I don't know. Spiritual storms we go through. People get discouraged and want to quit and all this kind of stuff. A sickness comes in her life, and there's all kinds of storms. But the blessing is, when that storm is finally over, you think some things are never going to end. But you know what? When it does, when you get a little calm, you know what y'all do? Y'all praise the Lord. If you look around right now tonight, and you say, "Well, I've got this and I've got this, but it could be worse." Well, you ought to praise the Lord it's not worse, because it could be worse. You know, it could always be worse. And it's going to get better. One way or the other, for the children of God, it's going to get better. There's going to be a peace, be still one day, and there'll be no more storms. Praise the Lord for that. Well, praise the Lord for His goodness. And then, last of all tonight, I'll finish up. Well, praise the Lord for His goodness in His supply to us. Verse 31, all that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt Him also in the congregation of the people and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. You know, we say, well, we take the Bible literally. We are Bible believers. But I don't know the last time I've seen anybody do what it says to really do here in verse number 32. Let them exalt Him also in the congregation of the people and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. We really ought to praise the Lord when we come together. That's what that's saying. In the congregation, among the assembly of the elders, we ought to praise the Lord. Verse 33, He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. You think God doesn't judge a land for their wickedness? You've never read the Bible. That's what that verse is saying. A fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water and dry ground into water springs. There he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields and plant vineyards which may yield fruits of increase. God can curse, but God can bless too. And God can do all of that at the same time. Because this is all happening at the same time. He blessed them also that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again, they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction. God's able to take care of his own. In the midst of judgment, God's able to take care of his own. That's what this is saying. Setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. The loving kindness of the Lord. God is able in his loving kindness to take care of his own, no matter what the circumstances are in the world. That's his loving kindness. His loving kindness, he loves to make things right. And he takes care of his church. He takes care of his children. He has blessed us in spite of, you just think about it tonight. We've been in a world for at least 4 years, really a little bit longer, where the economy has went down, down, down. People's making the same, but they're actually making less because of inflation and all of these things. Yet I believe tonight that probably everybody had supper before they come to church, or they're going to have it when they get home. God's able to take care of it. In spite of whatever is going on in the world, God's blessed our missions. We've not been able to take them on like we did once upon a time, but we've not had to drop anybody. That's a blessing of God. God's continued to sustain and take care of us. We've got food, we've got water, we've got sun, we got what we need. God's good to supply unto us according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's what it says in Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, if I have $10 and I give away $5, I'm just half as rich as I was. Well, that's going down pretty quick. I'm going to be poor by the time I get a gallon of milk, and I don't even think you could get a loaf of bread. I'd have to get something else. Maybe one of them fried pies or something. I'd be broke. But when God gives, God doesn't go down. He could give away half of all he had, and he wouldn't be half as rich as he was. He'd be as rich as he ever was, because he still owns it all. We're just stewards. God is good. And so for his goodness in supply, the Bible said in Romans 2:4, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. It's not the judgment of God that makes people get right. It's when they see how good God is. And so I hope we can see the goodness of God. There is the goodness of God in this chapter tonight. So I'm going to stop right there.